Merry Christmas. This morning is full of glad tidings. Christ is born today. Hear the angels proclaim peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. When we sing these familiar carols, we are telling the story of a birth in Palestine over 2,000 years ago. The beginning of a single human life that transformed humanity's understanding of who God is and what God desires for all of creation. Most people, even non-Christians, can tell this story of Christmas, the sweet tale depicted in our pageant last Wednesday, which is based on the Gospel of Luke. But there's more. When we sing these carols, we are also celebrating the great, mysterious, eternal, inbreaking, life-changing gift of the Incarnation, the cosmic birth of all creation, when all was God and all was pregnant, holy darkness, and God's Spirit stirred up life and light and love that became flesh and lived among us. And there's even more. When we sing these carols, we are staking a claim of hope that even today, in our broken, beautiful world, all is God and all is pregnant, holy darkness. And God's Spirit is stirring up life and light and love, which is embodied and living among us. It may seem that this second story of the cosmic birth, the one we just heard in John's Gospel today, well, it's easy to think that might be an alternative, sort of mystical story of Christmas. But from the earliest days of the church, Christians have understood them to be the exact same story. And we can see that, paradoxically, in the symbolism of the humble nativity scene that you see up here on the altar platform. These nativity scenes, simple depictions of Jesus' birth, date back to the 4th century, the oldest being on a Roman sarcophagus. And the full nativity scene, because the one on the Roman sarcophagus just had 4 figures, which we'll talk about shortly. But the full nativity scene, like what you see here or even more expanded, well, that was created by St. Francis of Assisi, the 12th century Italian saint. Because in a time when books were still copied by hand and most people were not literate, important stories, stories of history or stories of faith, they were told through art or song. So when St. Francis visited Jesus' traditional birthplace in Bethlehem, he was inspired to create a 3-dimensional nativity scene with which he could tell both stories of the birth of Christ. The one bound up by time and space, the birth of Jesus, and the one that is infinite and eternal, the birth of Christ. 2 stories that are, in fact, 1. So who is in this scene? Well, Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus, who's typically clothed in deep blue, the color of the sky and seas, embodying the endless expanse that connects heaven and earth. Joseph, Mary's husband, who's often seen holding a lamp, as Bishop Melissa noted last night. By holding that lamp, Joseph is the guardian of the Christ light that illuminates the shadows of the world. Mary and Joseph kneel by the baby Jesus, who is cradled in a crib of straw, a manger. In the earliest nativity scenes, this manger was not in a stable, but it was in a cave. Because in first century Palestine, animals weren't kept in a detached building, but in small hollows in or under the family home, caves. And this is important because for millennia, the cave has symbolized creation, the great womb of earth and sky. The cave is a symbol of life, but also of death. And so it is fitting that Jesus was born and was buried in a cave. Who else is in this scene? Well, shepherds, ordinary people who listen carefully to the angel's divine news, and they let their hearts be changed and their plans for the day turned upside down when they abruptly leave their flocks and hurry to Bethlehem. There are the three magi on their way. We understand them as kings or as wise sages, but each, what's important is each has a different nationality, ethnicity, or language by tradition, and each is offering their unique gifts to Christ. And also in the scene is a donkey and an ox. Did you know the earliest image of the Nativity, that Roman sarcophagus I mentioned, shows the baby Jesus attended only by an ox and a donkey? This is a reference to one of the first verses of Isaiah, which goes, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but my people do not understand." Isaiah is lamenting that the people have not seen the good work that God is doing to redeem them in their midst, to create something new. But in the Nativity, the ox and the donkey, animals of burden, well, they know the Messiah from the day he's born. In addition, these symbolic foster parents, if you will, the ox and the donkey, well, they were considered opposites. The ox was ritually clean, while the donkey was not. So now, at the birth of Christ, they are joined together so that there is no division between pure and impure, spirit and flesh, the divine and earthly creation. I can imagine St. Francis gathering children and adults around a nativity scene and telling the simple story of a human birth that is also the truth of the cosmic incarnation. And the truth is, there is no dividing line between the sacred and the profane, between the realm of the spirit and mundane, messy reality. All the elements of embodiment, the expressions of divine love, and they are all gathered around the light of Christ. As Pelagius wrote in the early Celtic church, "Look at the animals roaming the forest. God's spirit dwells within them. Look at the birds flying across the sky. God's spirit dwells within them. Look at the tiny insects crawling in the grass. God's spirit dwells within them. Look, too, at the great trees of the forest. Look at the wildflowers and the grass in the fields. Look even at your crops. God's spirit is present within all these plants as well. The presence of God's spirit in all living things is what makes them beautiful. And if we look with God's eyes, nothing and no one on the earth is ugly." So the incarnation proclaims that God created humanity in original blessing, not sin, to be a reflection of God in relationship with God, to be the tangible presence of God in this world. The incarnation also promises that God's Holy Spirit so saturates creation that to be human, like you and me, to be human is to be enlivened with the spark of the divine. Which means that Christ's work of salvation is not a rescue from our essential selves, but a restoration of our original sacredness. This can be hard to remember when human brokenness and cruelty cause terrible violence and oppression. In Bethlehem this year, one Lutheran church has replaced the traditional nativity scene with a scene of baby Jesus laid in the rubble of a destroyed masonry building, like so many in Gaza. The pastor said, "Christmas is the solidarity of God with those who are oppressed and suffering. And if Jesus is to be born again this year, he will be born under the rubble in solidarity with the people of Gaza." And we proclaim, so he will. In Wales, alongside Mary and Joseph in every nativity scene, is a washerwoman, a laundress. She is a symbol of every woman and every man who's engaged in their daily work and their daily commitment to their family and their community. The belief is that all of us stand at the manger. And the birth of Christ is not a story from long ago and far away. It is a powerful, transformative love that we invite into our lives here and now. St. Augustine said, "What does it avail me that this birth is always happening if it does not happen in me?" So that is our prayer today. May the blessings of Christmas enter your lives, that the Holy One is born anew in you, strengthening you to be Christ's hands and heart in this broken, beautiful world. Amen.